too. But they're going to cut this microphone off at 11, and they're all going to go eat lunch. So Shelby's heard it before. She'd be the only one left if somebody had not invited her out for lunch. But I'm looking forward to sharing this message with you. And I believe that you'll see why when we're finished. But the one that I really, really want every child of God to hear is the one tonight on Consider the Lilies of the Field. And you're going to have a greater appreciation for what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, I believe, than ever before. So we want you to be back tonight, if you can, for that lesson. How do I say I love you to God? That's what we'll be looking at this morning. That's the outline that's been being handed out right now. You know, God has done so much for us. So many blessings that we receive, some of them that we cannot enumerate, all those blessings. The air that we breathe, the sunshine, the food we eat, the water we drink. You know, Shelby and I had, I'm not saying this boastfully, but we had an opportunity to help get a well drilled in Africa, a hand pump well. And you know what that neighborhood, what they had to do to get water? In the dry summer months, they had no water, zero water. You ever tried cooking without water? You ever tried going without drinking water? I mean, it's just one little thing, water, water. And these women would have to take little old crude hose that they had and go out to a dry river bed, and they'd have to dig a hole down until they reached water that was seeping up from that river bed. And they would take that old dirty, muddy water in buckets and take it back home, and that's the water that they used. Well, a missionary, Brother Dorian Flynn, a lot of y'all may know Dorian. He came down here several times when I was preaching here at Creekwood. Dorian is from South Africa. He's Black Dutch, but I've known him a long time. He's done a tremendous amount of mission work. And Dorian came and told us how we could help get a well drilled. And Shelby and I took that on as a project. And I said, all I want out of this is a picture of the first time that anybody pumped water. When I got the picture, it has just brought tears to our eyes. There was that beautiful, clean water coming with a stream about that big around out of that pump. They was pumping water, filling up their containers, and all of them had a smile that wide. And I said, thank you, Lord, for water. I can go to a faucet and turn it on, and it's there. And you can too. Thank God for our blessings. In John chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, we're going to read that, and then we're going to read Matthew's account of it, and Matthew 26, verse 6. But in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 1, John chapter 12, 1 through 9. John 12, 1 through 9. Before we do that, we're going to have a word of prayer. Elbert, will you lead us in a prayer, please?
Father, and our God, we are grateful unto you for this day. We pray, Father, the blessings upon those that are not with us. Father, taking this morning to bring out points that will help us in our daily living. And Father, we pray for forgiveness of our sins. This is our prayer in Christ's name.
Amen. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why have you not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. And then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Now then, flip over to Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 6. We're going to put the stories together and get the total picture. In verse 6 of Matthew 26, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having the alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they were at indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye this woman? For she had wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." We are retelling that story that had its origin many, many hundreds of years ago. You know, what would you consider to be the most beautiful thing in the world? Well, I know for some it would be a sunrise or a sunset, a baby smile or beautiful flowers, a portrait of a grandchild. I got to see a lot of grandkids' portraits last night. Mike and Nellie has a beautiful family, and we were staying with them. I didn't get the chance to talk about my grandkids much. Mike, he had the floor, and I had to listen. There he is sitting back there grinning. Well, the most beautiful thing in all the world is really a beautiful life, a life lived for God. The most beautiful life ever lived was the life of Jesus. There was no sin in his life. It was 100% purity and gratitude and helpfulness. In Acts 10, verse 38, it says that Jesus went about doing good. Now, we go about that we go about doing good. As we review our text in John and Matthew, Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, having supper at Simon with his guest. There was Mary and Martha and Lazarus and the disciples. And of course, Martha was doing what she's noted for, and that's serving. And then, but Mary was thinking more on the spiritual side. And as they were eating, Jesus knew the cross was ever before him, that he was about ready to die. Suddenly, Mary entered the room with an alabaster box of expensive ointment, costing about 300 pence or 300 days' work. And she broke the box and poured it on Jesus' head and anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And Judas said, "Why have you not this ointment been sold and given to the poor?" And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this?" Other words, she had had it for a long time. I get the impression there. She's kept it. And she hath done what she could. Verily I say unto you that wherever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this shall be done and spoken of as a memorial to her. There will always be those Judases that know the cost of everything but the value of nothing. There'll always be people like that. Bad men always put forth good motives for bad deeds. Judas wanted to get his hands on the money. Why? He said he's a thief. He wanted to put it in the bag, and then he could take out of that as he pleased. Judas could only see money in his bag. As a lot of people, when they look at a forest, all that they see is trees, timber to be cut to make money. There's a rolling river. Some people never see the beauty of that river. Our daughter lives on the Tennessee River. And you're talking about good fishing, it's there. She lives on what would be called the Pickwick Lake, one of the dams on the Tennessee River. But they dam that up and they make power from that river, electricity. And then when they see other people, they don't see a living soul, but someone that they can use for their own benefit. That's so sad. God intended for us to use things to serve people, but the tragedy is that we use people to accumulate things. And Judas couldn't understand the wastefulness of Mary pouring out the expensive ointment on Jesus. You know, it's really no different today. Many who think that every penny that we give, you know, it's a waste. It's gone. It's gone forever. I'll not receive any benefit from it. That's how a lot of people this morning, no doubt, hopefully not here, but in some places, they do not see that you are really, really giving a part of yourself on that collection plate. The money and the hours that you spent accumulating the amount of money that goes in that collection plate to pay for the preaching of the gospel here and other places, then a part of your life goes with that missionary as he goes out and preaches the word of God. See yourself in that collection plate, and how much of yourself are you giving to the Lord? So, God intended us to serve people and not just accumulate things. So Judas couldn't understand the wastefulness of it. Mary was thinking in this, really, how can I show Jesus how much I love him? For all the things that Jesus had done for her and for Martha, and for Lazarus. They were kind of the house that he would go to when he wanted to find rest and peace. When he wanted to go and just relax somewhere, he'd always go to the house of Mary and Martha and Joseph. So they had a close-knit relationship with each other. So we find here that she took the most precious possession that she had, that bottle of ointment. And she took the wax out of the top or broke the top off, and she poured it on Jesus' head all the way down to his feet. And then she got on her knees and wiped his feet with her hair. Love, yeah. Love expressed, yeah. She was showing Jesus how much she loved him. Historians tell us that the alabaster box was a long-necked bottle made of marble and carved with delicate beauty, and it was a delight of the heart of any woman to own one of these. The costly perfume came from the spikenard plant. The perfume was bottled, placed in a bottle and sealed with wax. And the value of about 300 pence, and a pence back then would be equal to a day's work. You're talking about 300 days' work went into that spikenard bottle. Mary's perfume really became Judas's pitfall. To her, it was a stepping stone, but to Judas, it was a stumbling block. It exposed the brightness of Mary's heart, but the blackness of Judas's heart. Many today are blinded to the spiritual values of that their mental computer sizes up everything in terms of monetary value. Judas called it a waste. But nothing that is done for Jesus is ever a waste. Every cup of cold water given in his name, you'll receive a benefit from that. Nothing is ever a waste. Rather, we throw away our money on sin. The prodigal son wasted his substance on sinful living, on riotous living. Luke chapter 15, verse 13. His brother said he was out there running around with harlots, whether that's true or not, an accusation the brother brought up against him. He wasted it. The one talent man was afraid to use his talent and was called thou weak and slothful servant. The real waste, now notice, the real waste in this story would have been for Mary to have passed up a once in a lifetime opportunity to show Jesus just how much she loved him. This was her time. This was her time to show Jesus and to show God. The alabaster box represented her love for Jesus. And when you give a gift to someone you love, you are really not just giving a gift, but rather you are giving a gift of expression of the fact that you have love, that you do love them with your heart. Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and he had expressed that love in John chapter 11 when he wept with Mary and Martha, and later when he raised Lazarus. Even the people there said, when they saw Jesus weep, even the Jews said, look how much he loved them. It was an expression of Jesus' love when he shed a tear at the grave of Lazarus. So they knew how much Jesus loved them. Mary is showing Jesus how much she loved him and how much she appreciated him. Her gift came from a truly grateful heart. Turn over to 2 Corinthians for just a moment. Let's read just a few passages here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you wit to the grace of God bestowed upon the church of the Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. When we pool our money together to help the widows, the orphans, to do mission work, we're having fellowship one with another. None of us can do it all by ourselves, but pooling our talents and our money together, we have fellowship in the mission of the church. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, inasmuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, and all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, and that through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness of will, so that there will be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there first be a willing mind, it's accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that is, when you give what you have give with a purpose of heart, and I give what I give with a purpose of heart, then there's an equality. It may not be in the same monetary sense, but there's an equality. That now at the time of your abundance may be a supply for their want, but their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. You know, she had done what she could. She took just a small bottle of perfume, yet small. It became large when it's dedicated to God. What about a boy's lunch given to Jesus? How many did he feed? 5,000 plus what? The women and children. What a miracle. 5,000. Well, what about that little rock, that stone, one of those five stones that David picked up in his pouch? God allowed him, empowered him to take down a giant. Could Jesus say to you, you have done what you could? Find out what God would have you do and do it well. For what is great or what is small, only God can tell. What a beautiful thought. Notice the far-reaching effect of this story. Countless memorials have been erected for monarchs and kings over the years, and they've crumbled, but Mary's memorial still stands, because that memorial is in your heart, it's in my heart, of what she did. The gift of God, the gift of love, meant much to Jesus. It happened at a time that he needed encouragement. The angry mob was crying out for his blood. You'll just keep reading in John 9 and Matthew 12, right after what we've been reading here. You can see that the angry mob, that they are out here to take him and to crucify him. They were ready to launch to just lunch upon him. I want you to notice four things about this incident in the next 7 minutes that I have left. How do I say I love you to God? You've got to have a ministry of a devoted heart. Your heart has got to be totally devoted to God. You know, I wouldn't do anything knowingly that would hurt Shelby. Wouldn't do that. Why? I'm devoted to her. And she is devoted to me. So I'm not going to do anything intentionally to hurt her. I'm going to do it. So you got to have a ministry of a devoted heart that's even stronger for God in Christ than my devotion to Shelby is. You're going to have to love God above all other loves in your life. That's what it takes. That's the first commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbors yourself. But God comes first. I've told you this story. Let me tell it for the younger folks. This is a different audience than I normally have. When Shelby and I got married, she was the Christian, I wasn't. And I did everything in my power to break her down. I'm not proud of that. I'm ashamed of it. And I wish I'd never done that, but I did. And I came up with one thing. I thought I had her. When we got married, I would go to church with my mother and dad maybe once or twice a year. The rest of the time, Sunday morning was just like any other day for us. And I'd get up and play with the boys and the kids there in the housing project where I lived. And then I went across a little mountain over to Brigham, Alabama, a coal mining town. And that's where I found Shelby. I dug her out of a hole over there. Anyway, I thought I had her on one thing, Albert. I told her one day, I said, you love God more than you love me. You know what that 17-year-old bride of mine said? She said, you may never, ever get anything right again. But you got that one right. I love God more than I love you. Now I've learned to love God more than I love Shelby. And that is the glue that holds you together. It's Christ is that glue. The ministry of a devoted heart. Now he came to the last week of his life and the shadows of the cross had fallen across his path. And the bloodthirsty mob was crying out for his death. And the lonely Christ needed a friend. He needed a friend. And Mary gave him all she had. An alabaster box. And why shouldn't he? Well, he had raised her brother and returned him to the family circle. Jesus loved Mary. Mary loved Jesus. There was no doubt about that. They were devoted to each other. Jesus was her Lord, the author of her salvation, the hope of her soul, and the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So in low humility, Mary went beyond the call of duty and anointed his head and his feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. The act of love. Then there has to be the meaning of a generous gift. Mary saw the need of honoring Christ while he was alive instead of waiting for him to die and lament the fact that she had not done more for Jesus while he was alive. How many people do you know that walk around every day with guilt in their heart because they did not take the opportunity to show their loved one how much they loved them? And now then that loved one is gone. That loved one is dead, never to be seen again in this world. And they go around heartbroken. Oh, I wish, I wish, I wish. You need to do it now. Mary saw something better. She brought the best she had. I would rather have one little rose from the garden of a friend than to have the choicest flowers when my stay on earth shall end. I'd rather have a pleasant word in kindness said to me than flattery when my heart is still and this life has ceased to be. I'd rather have a loving smile from friends I know are true than tears shed around my casket when this world I bid adieu. Bring all the flowers today, whether pink or red or white. I'd rather have one blossom now than a truckload when I'm dead. Let me tell you something. There are starving people out here in this world. There's starving mothers and fathers. These kids gathered around their mother's casket, not casket, but her deathbed. She was about to die, and she was in a somewhat semi-coma. And they began to say, you know, Mama, you've been a good mother. You've been a good dad, you good mother to us. And we love you. And she said, what? Woke up. Said, we love you. Each of the three kids said that. We love you, Mother. She said, I didn't know. They said, why? And she said, you never told me. Sad that she came to her deathbed and those kids had not told their mother that they loved them. They're starving people. Parents, children, friends, fellow church members, faithful Christians, tell them now. Break the alabaster box now. Then there's a motive behind the gift. There was sympathy. There was sympathy. There's a motive of gratitude. We hurry over the lesson. There was a motive of love. How do I know this? They showed it. There was an opportunity to express her love for God. I love the Father because I love the Son. If you want to do something for me, do it for my children. Do it for my grandchildren. If you want to really do something for me, do something nice for my family. And that's how I know I'm loved. Do something for them. I'm not going to leave you on a morbid note. This man had gotten word that he's had a certain terminal type disease. Went to the doctor. And after they had diagnosed him with just not long to live, the wife got the doctor off, said, what can I do to help him in his sickness? The doctor said, you need to cook hot meals every day. You need to reduce the stress from his life. Keep a clean house free of germs. After she talked to the doctor, they went out to get in the car. He said, what did the doctor say? She said, Doc said, you're going to die. You're going to die. Then there's a message from our heart. The message from our heart. I'll end with this illustration. One preacher on one Sunday morning at the close of the service, he told everybody to stand and said, now, I want you to go stand by the person who has been an inspiration to you, during your life. 18 young women got up and walked over this saintly, godly woman who had been an encouragement to them, a mentor to them, someone that they could go and ask advice and get good advice. And they all made a circle around her. We ought to live in such a way that we break our alabaster boxes, and that what we have done, our grandkids will hear from somebody else the good deeds that we perform. What a greater legacy can you leave than that? For you to know and the family know, I love God. I love God. I'm willing to give Him the best I have while I am still living. You've been a good audience. Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity to come back tonight as we consider the lilies of the field. The lilies of the field. Thank you.